This is the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast, helping you run your restaurant better.
Welcome back to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Thank you everyone out there for joining us for another cool episode where we're going to bring you some of the latest info and products in the world of restaurant technology. As I say every single time we post one of these podcasts, guys, we can't do this without you. We love the listenership. I love the feedback that you guys post on social. A lot of you guys have reached out via email and just shared kind of thoughts and things that have happened to you guys, some products that you guys have picked up based on guests that we've had on the podcast. And not too different than the last 12 or 13 months, we are again joined by a guest. We are joined by, I think you're one of the founders of Pop Menu. Brandon, what's going on, man?
Hey, Jeremy. Everything's going on. Thanks. Yeah,
everything's going on.
One of the four founders. Everything's going on. It's a great time to be in restaurant tech for sure.
And then after we prepped and I told you I was going to say your name right, then I think I just said Brandon, didn't I?
That's terrible.
So Brandon, you should have just corrected me straight off the bat. We're only 1 minute into this. I'm all good with it. Why don't you tell our audience members out there a little bit about yourself and kind of who the four founders are and kind of what you guys founded before we dig into kind of where you guys came from and what problems you guys are trying to solve for the restaurant industry.
Sure thing. Awesome, Ben, and appreciate the opportunity to share it with you. So Pop Menu, I mean, the four of us, we had worked together at a couple of different opportunities before, one being Career Builder and another being SaaS for a real estate company called Commissions, Inc. And we're all, like a lot of people, passionate about food and restaurants. And the origin of the company is pretty simple. It's really based on one of the most obvious questions people have had over the past like decade plus, which is why are PDF menus still a thing? And it's super obvious because like restaurants are such a sensual experience. So visual and atmosphere and, you know, all these different senses come into play. And it's like, yeah, but evaluate my restaurant based on some text, you know? And so three of the four co-founders have product and tech backgrounds. The fourth has a he's a great go-to-market and sales guy. We thought about this question of why are PDFs still here? And it was the origination of the idea was just to say, well, we don't actually think that people really want to go to third-party platforms to discover their next dining experience. We think they want to go to the restaurant website, data backs this up. Yep. They want to go directly there. They see the menu. They see some text. They say, that sounds interesting. Let me go to Yelp, TripAdvisor, OpenTable, see some photos, see some reviews, see some ratings, see some social validation before I make my dining decision. And so very simple idea that we had, and I've got 20 years plus in internet product management. We've got a lot of experience building B2B, B2C experiences. You know, we were just like, hey, there's a million things more compelling you could do. But really, if you just take that, you know, if you take that third party kind of technology experience, put it in the restaurant website under their control, it'll probably be a really good thing for restaurants and for consumers. And so that's what we started with. And that turned out to be true. And it turned out that, you know, when we just had sketches and prototypes and started showing restaurants, hey, here's what your menu will look like. And it'll be visual and it'll have direct review capture from, you know, your guests. It'll have ratings, it'll have social validation, it'll have interactivity, it'll be shareable, it'll be great for SEO. I mean, people were wanting to buy it just based on prototypes, which was awesome.
That's pretty cool.
And so we started with that, with the idea that, hey, take some control back from these third-party platforms when it comes to, you know, restaurant discovery. And then like I said, three of the four of us are product people, and even the fourth says he's product too. And so we just spent a ton of time with restaurateurs and with consumers and with data, and we saw how our tool was, you know, being used or how it wasn't being used, and we just started iterating. And so really the journey from there, the menu has always been at the heart. For us, the menu is the most underutilized asset that restaurants have. It is their inventory. It is their sales story. It is their unique selling proposition. It's everything. Mm-hmm. And so making the most of that is the core of what we do. And everything that's good that we deliver comes from that. And so really from launch, as soon as we launched this dynamic menu experience, and we started it off as just a simple JavaScript that people would just replace their PDF menu with it, instantly the next thing was, hey, this is awesome. My website sucks. And my cousin runs it. And Kim, can you host that too? And so we very quickly went into hosting the whole web experience, which had a bunch of other benefits. It's a better consumer experience. It's much more powerful for SEO. Uh-huh. And then we've continued to expand the suite from there based on, you know, what we hear from our clients, what we see them struggling with, what we see them struggling to do. And so now Pop Menu is, you know, I don't want to say all in one, but it's a simplified approach to the entire digital presence for restaurants. And it's approachable for the restaurant. It consolidates a ton of tools and bills and user IDs, you know, down into one. And so one thing we hear from restaurants is, look, the digital side, even before COVID, the digital side got way more complex to the point where it's almost as hard as running the restaurant itself. And it's like, it's crazy. It should be simpler. It should be more powerful. It shouldn't take, you know, patching together a bunch of tools and contractors and agencies and services just to get your word out and to attract and engage and transact with consumers.
Well, and it's funny that you bring that up, because I think for the most part, I mean, I was thinking while I was listening to your description of what it is that you guys were trying to solve, I don't know of another industry that you can't go figure out what the product is and go figure out what the engagement is going to look like. You know, if I'm going to buy a car, I can build the car on the website before I even show up on the lot. You know, I can figure out what the inventory looks like and figure out what I'm going to get. You know, when I'm going to buy a home, I've got 3D digital tours of what the experience is going to look like. But way too often, I think, like you're saying, the experience, you know, I was traveling last week. You were just saying you were traveling today. Like, I was traveling, I was looking for a place to eat, and you know, I go, oh, do they have, you know, let me find a Mexican place around here. And I go pull up, and you can't even figure out what they have on the menu half the time. And when you do, it's a terrible experience. And oftentimes I think it prevents, you know, it's almost a sales prevention, sales prevention rather than it is an accelerator. Is that kind of what you guys were seeing and hearing and feeling when you guys, you know, kind of created this idea and started going out and seeing if it had legs?
100%. I mean, what you described is exactly what happens, is that people are, you know, maybe you have an anniversary, you have a work dinner, you have something to plan. And so if you're like me, you want that to be a good experience. You want to be known for, like, wow, you know, Jeremy picked an awesome place. And when you start comparing them and you look at what tools you have to do that with, it's like, this is crazy, especially in 2021. But this was like the original idea we had was in 2014. And when we started to do prototypes, things like that, even then it was like, that's 7 years ago. It's like, that's crazy that you can't, like, one of the analogies I would give investors early or potential investors, when we were talking to people was, hey, imagine going to Amazon and you want some shoes, and you go in there and you type Air Jordan size 13, whatever. And you just get a text list back, and it's just, here's this shoe and it's red, and here's this shoe and it's got this trim and this and that. No photos, no reviews, no ratings, no social validation, no, you know, people like you like this shoe, none of that. Well, that's what restaurants do. And it's crazy because, again, especially we're really focused on, I mean, we have every kind of restaurant, every kind of hospitality entity on board with Pop Menu. But we started with full service independent restaurants in mind because they are the ones that really differentiate with their cuisine, right? Mm-hmm.
And their experience, for that matter, right? I mean, it's an experience. When, you know, the one of our clients, the CEO of one of our clients' sites, that says, you go out to a restaurant to have an experience. You know, it's all about the guest experience, and you know, starting it on the right end where you know what you are looking for. You know, that's a really, you know, a bad guest experience if you can't kind of preview what's going on and get that excitement. You know, nobody would book a hotel room or a vacation without kind of knowing, oh, I'm going to go here, I'm going to go to the Bahamas, and I'm going to go visit these different things. But again, to your point on restaurants, without something like Pop Menu, they do all day long.
All day long. And then the alternative is, first of all, the way it's like that is, there's never been a great tool for restaurants to do this. There's a number of reasons for that. One is that it's very hard to sell software to restaurateurs because they're busy. It's the busiest job in the world. And so they're not sitting in a cube waiting to be sold some software. You know, you got to go get in front of them. And that's hard. And then once you start building it, getting them on board with it is hard because they are so busy. And it's not like they have all of their assets, you know, their digital assets in one place ready to onboard. It's just not like a corporate SaaS sale, you know? And then what happens is your numbers don't look great for investors where they say, no, I'd rather invest in some productivity tool for accountants or something because that's predictable and I can see it. So all those things come together and make it so it's been really, really hard for, you know, like people like us to build software for restaurants before. Mm-hmm. But I mean, we had the experience and we had high empathy from the beginning. And so we liked the challenge of, well, let's not just build it. Let's make it really approachable. Let's make it really usable. Let's make it fit into their lives. Let's make it so it's not a chore for them where they have to, you know, God, I got to put a whole day into using Pop Menu. But, you know, all those factors combined have made it so that's why there's not been great tools for restaurants. Luckily, that's changed. A lot of, you know, obviously the space is so far behind on so many aspects of technology, but exactly what you're talking about, where it's consumer experience. I mean, we say the hospitality experience starts online. It almost always does. You know, I mean, I love it when you can walk up to some random spot and have an awesome experience, but you know, for all of the planned experiences, you do put some research into it. You don't want to end up with a terrible experience, especially if you're including your spouse, your partner, your colleagues, whatever it is. And so, yeah, that customer experience, like, why shouldn't restaurants have the ability to give their inventory, give their story, give their data, you know, with the same kind of tools that every other industry has? And it turns out when you do give them those tools, they do take control back from those third-party platforms. And so really those third-party platforms, especially like when we started, it was not about the ordering. It was about the discovery of your next dining experience.
Yep.
And really what we found was restaurants just really resented the fact that they were out of control of their own kind of profile, you know, that was seen by so many people. And that was the criteria people used to decide where were they going to eat. And so,
well, and I would contend that oftentimes having a bad experience on your digital footprint is worse than not having any menu up there. Is worse because, you know, I'd rather have it do it really, really well or not do it at all, because I think having a mediocre or a bad experience could turn people away, like my experience last week.
100%. Yeah. And the thing is, once you do it, you have to keep it updated. And so it has to, you know, it has to be something that you put time into. But yeah, we thought it was, I mean, we thought it was a pretty obvious need, you know, and when we started talking to restaurateurs, it was just clear that, look, because they had no great tool, these platforms took so much more control. You know, they just didn't have any
kind of hammer of their own. Well, because they were tech companies.
Yeah,
they're tech companies, and they go, you know, scrub their website and go figure out what those things are. Right. Do you think that's why so many people had a PDF menu? Because that was the only thing that there wasn't a tool to enable them. So they opened up a Word document, or they opened up, you know, some kind of word processor and just typed in their stuff. Is that kind of what when you guys were early stages talking with people? I know it's been a while, but is that kind of where you guys found those engagements? Is people are like, well, I didn't have any other way, so this is what I did.
Yeah. We started 4 years ago, but it's funny. It's true for many people today that the PDF is just, it's what they already had on hand for making the print menu.
Oh, so I didn't even think about
like,
that.
Yeah. It's like, well, this is just repurposing what was already there. Yeah. It's terrible for indexing at Google, you know, so it's not your friend when it comes to SEO. It's terrible on a mobile device.
Yep.
And even when it's like really good, it's still just some text, you know, and so you're not putting your best foot forward on saying, hey, look at how creative I am with my cuisine. Look at my ingredients. Look at my plating, you know, and let me tell you the story about this, and also read reviews from people who have had it. And so even at best, it's just text.
Yep. Well, and I think, have you guys really gotten into, I know one of the things in talking with some of our clients is there's a whole menu engineering methodology on the paper menus, you know, and the, those bigger brands like a Chili's or a Cheesecake Factory, you know, everybody jokes about the Cheesecake Factory having, you know, a novel for a yeah. menu, but they specifically engineer certain items with certain pictures and certain places to do different things. And it ends up driving behavior. I mean, we do it all the time on the web, and people that understand technology, depending upon where you put your buy now button, you see different, you know, different patterns of behavior, you know, what your images look like, what those things are. Have you guys gotten into any of that as you guys have been digging in? I want to dig into the reviews in a few minutes, but I wanted to kind of understand, because a lot of these bigger brands I know on the paper menus or on the laminate menus that they drop off at the table, a lot of times they're doing a lot of engineering to make sure that they get you to buy the products that they want you to buy because they can execute on them well, they've got high margins, all of those kind of things. How much of that did you guys do as it relates to Pop Menu?
Yeah, great question. I mean, really from the start, there were some elements of that of menu engineering built in before we even know that that's before we knew that that's what it was. And so whether it's, I mean, you can change the placement of items on the fly real time within the menu through Pop Menu. You can feature items, you can put photos on items, you can add text, like you can do all of these things to attract the eye and attract the user to your most profitable dish, your most popular dish, you know, all of those things. But that was the pretty basic stuff. And it's still right now pretty basic as we focused on building out kind of other capabilities to help restaurants. But we actually have a patent that's being awarded next week that has to do with real menu engineering, where the short story of it is, why isn't that menu personalized for me based on what it knows about me? You know, based on things I've looked at, things I've ordered, things I've reviewed, things I've said were fantastic, things I've said were terrible, things I've sent back, you know? Mm-hmm. And so we've put in work on conceptualizing a menu that is automatically personalized based on what it knows about you. And yeah, like I said, that patent's being awarded next week, and we have a lot of that functionality in our roadmap going forward this year.
Well,
the thing is, thank you. Yeah, I'm pumped. I did pretty bad in science. Like I'm super excited to be on a patent. I know that's a pretty basic sounding thing, but for me, that's a little bit of a thrill. But also, it's just that, you know, it just validates that it's a novel idea, and it's crazy that it hasn't happened, you know, yet. I mean, there are some small forms of it happening, but you know, if you have celiacs and you can't consume gluten, and we know that, why would we show you any items that have, you know, gluten in them? If, yep. if you have shown that you only eat, you know, you're a pescatarian, well, let's go ahead and either remove, you know, the red meat and the chicken, or let's feature, you know, fish dishes, or those are just dead obvious practices that are done in every single modern business that has a web interface, except restaurants.
Yep. Yeah.
And it's like,
well, and it's funny because my wife will say, well, it's so amazing. You know, Amazon keeps advertising these things to me. I'm like, honey, it's because you're talking about them. It's because you're browsing the web. But like, people don't completely understand that when you're on these digital platforms, a lot of times they're using that behavioral science to get you to buy the stuff that they want you to buy and that you're already interested in buying. And they're really just suggesting it to you. Whereas in the restaurants, we never, ever do that. That is a pretty novel concept. I hadn't even gotten into that when I was reading through the notes about our call today.
Well, the patent was just awarded. I mean, I'm not huge on kind of reserving IP. I definitely believe in open systems and yeah, some stuff I think was patented early on in the history of the web. That's just ridiculous.
Yep.
We were kind of encouraged early on in our discussions with investors to, you know, to put some IP together. And I felt like this was really novel, and it really is something that we've always thought about, even when we had no idea what this business was. But it's also just, you know, when you look at a lot of the myths about restaurants, you know, closing within a year and terrible margins and this and that. I mean, it always tends to come back to some you know, process, some business practice, some technology that we're not doing in restaurants that they're doing everywhere else, even in, you know, like a small bookshop operation or, you know, some small local retail thing. They're just, they just have way more sophisticated tech stack and way more sophisticated business processes. And it's like, yeah, if you make those accessible and if you just enhance, you know, the upside a little bit on customers, and if you just reduce friction a little bit, and if you just bring a little bit more efficiency in your operation, all of a sudden that's like 3 to 5%, you know, improvement on margins. And so that's what I'm most excited about right now with restaurant tech, is the embracement of technology that's happening and the belief that we find operators have in technology being able to help their operations because of what's gone on over the last year. I mean, yep. They're ready. You know, they're ready. It's not something where you have to drag them kicking and screaming. You got to get in front of them. You have to be compelling. You have to be trustworthy because they've been burned by so many, you know, so many tech people.
Startups, and yeah, business. Whatnot.
Yep. Yeah, startups, big platforms, local contractors, local agencies. I mean, we've seen restaurants get screwed over by every flavor of technology person. You know, and we take a ton of pride in being the counter to that. It's like, we still have people we signed 4 years ago who are on $99 a month. And now the product's, you know, the base price is $269 a month. They have those clients have all the functionality of the new people, but they have the price that they were grandfathered into because that's right. They signed up. We're keeping them. We're going to keep innovating. We're going to keep adding more and more feature functionality. But it's like, that's just counter to how we just see most of them have been nickel and dimed. They've had people sell them things that don't work, and they're just too busy to, you know, go back and find something better.
Yeah. And it's kind of funny that you say that, because it's amazing. You guys have been around for, you know, a number of years now, and probably we're having a hard time getting in front of these guys. But when the pandemic hit, I think it's accelerated the you know, talking with other colleagues of mine in the industry, we all have said that we think that COVID has accelerated the restaurant technology adoption anywhere between 5 and 10 years ahead, you know, from where it would have been non-pandemic, because they were busy, you know, and the worst part is they were busy making very little money because they weren't using these tools, is the part that's so sad. They'll probably work less hours, use these tools, and make more money if they do it right. But figuring out how to get restaurants to do that is also the age-old challenge.
For sure. But COVID has been a forcing factor for sure.
Absolutely.
And I mean, we've always been really lucky that from the beginning, our idea resonated with restaurant owners. The challenge is always getting in front of them. But once we get in front of them, like 7 to 8 out of 10 would buy. And still, awesome. That's the case. And that's, I love that. It just means we were, you know, we hit on a need that was clear.
I'm sure the investors are lining up at your door if you guys are at a 70% close ratio when you guys get in front of people. You guys just need more sales and marketing to get out in front of more people if that's really your close ratio.
That's really our close ratio. And yeah, that's, I mean, awesome. we've been measured at, we've been capital efficient. I mean, we started off, we bootstrapped for the first 18 months, and we took a very small seed round, we took a small A, we took a relatively small B. It's not our interest to just churn and burn and just try to go grab as much market share as possible and then have everything go out the back door because you didn't build the product right, you didn't build the service group right. Like, we know that we can sell a lot more, but we want to take the right approach for the market, you know, and I'm happy and proud that we take that approach. I think it would be easy enough to say, wow, 70-80% close rate, let's hire 300 sales reps and go crazy.
Yeah.
But it just feels like this space deserves like a little bit more of a measured approach. And yeah, while we're scaling, I mean, we grew really strong last year, almost tripled. And despite, you know, a lot of clients having a hard time and having to pause and give discounts and, you know, work with everybody to make sure they got through it. So we had to take a measured approach last year, but we're still taking a measured approach because I still just believe in building the right thing long term. We're doing that, and it's not something that happens overnight. And so just scaling sales, yeah, we're tripling the sales team and things like that, but we're still kind of way we're still pretty measured compared to a lot of kind of venture backed, you know, companies.
I love it. I love it. Cause that would probably be the way that I would run our org if we went that route. So you brought up something a couple times earlier that I thought was interesting. And I think our audience would love to understand a little bit about kind of, you know, I think everybody's familiar with OpenTable. Everybody's familiar with Yelp in the restaurant industry, but you guys talk about, you know, kind of your review system and, you know, social validation, social proof of items and what's working well and what's not working well. Can you talk a little bit more about how you guys, like, where did that idea come from? Why did you guys do it? And why did you mix the menu with the reviews and kind of that whole idea from a guest experience perspective and even from the restaurateur's perspective?
Yeah, great question. I honestly don't know when the review piece came into it. It just seemed like a natural, like you want, if you just look at Amazon, it's not the most eloquent UX when you get to a product page, right? But everything you want to know about that item is there. And so it just seemed right that, look, if people are coming to your restaurant site, you know, 90% of that traffic is direct in Google, and then they're going to the menu page, 80% of the traffic goes to the menu, and then they bounce out to another platform because they want photos and they want reviews and they want ratings and they want social validation, then it's like, well, just put it all in there. And so the review piece is interesting because we often overlook it and we don't make it a massive selling point. And it really becomes more apparent, the benefit of it, once someone's on board and they start to go, wow, this is a real direct feedback channel that I have now that I didn't have before. And so really what it comes down to is, when you, like, we thought of it as, hey, ask your fans to talk about their favorite dishes and do it in an altruistic way. Just say, help our future guests plan their meal by sharing the experience you had with this dish. And it turns out a lot of people want to help their local business just by doing just that. They don't just want to go to like Yelp and complain. They actually want to help, you know, this local institution that they love frequenting and that they've had great times with and great meals with. And so that made sense from a perspective of let's just have reviews right on the dish. But what we didn't understand we were doing was helping open that, you know, that direct relationship between guests and restaurateurs that had been kind of disintermediated by those platforms.
Yep.
Where it's like, yes, you do get reviews on Yelp, and yes, you know, the restaurateur doesn't get to control those. Yes, we can all say, I mean, I've talked to hundreds of restaurateurs. Every one of them has some nightmare story about, oh, there were some drunk guys. We wouldn't serve them. They went and blasted us on Yelp or whatever. Yep. There's a million stories like that. Look, you can still go get those reviews, but the fact is, and consumers can still go and see, you know, the consumer kind of favored approach that those platforms have. But there's also something to be said about being able to go to a restaurant website and see direct reviews from, you know, guests who've been there, who are just trying to share the experience they've had. And when you put this direct channel in place, and we've made it very, very easy. I mean, we have a mobile app that our clients use to make their menu changes. They can respond to reviews. They can do all kinds of stuff. It's not just web-based. But it's like when that review comes in and it's a great review, the owner can just respond immediately. You know, they could attach an offer or they could say, hey, just thanks for letting us know that we did a great job for you. But what's really key is when they get the bad review, now it's something they can deal with on a one-on-one basis. It's not out in the court of public opinion where it's, oh, let's see how this thread goes on Yelp. You know, it's, hey, you had a bad experience. I'm going to handle it directly.
Uh-huh.
And that more direct small business owner to, you know, small business customer relationship that we're facilitating there goes way beyond the review, but it really started there for us. Where it's,
yeah,
like,
yeah, it's funny because I would have never considered the review being such a critical part of digitizing the menu. But I think it's really interesting because not only the social validation from other patrons, but also the fact that the restaurant hears and sees, oh, this dish constantly gets told that it's too salty. Maybe I need to change and, you know, use this item instead of that item in the dish versus not.
Exactly. Like that's the kind of feedback, like we've said earlier in the conversation, that's the kind of feedback every other modern business with a digital component gets, right? hey, this shirt wasn't the right size. These shoes are not true.
Yeah, they run small. They run big. They're, you know, the color is not the way that it shows on the website. And then they fix the picture or whatever that might be. That's, I mean, that's so interesting because I would have never considered that.
Right. It's so true. I mean, you get some of that on premises, you know, when you're having your hospitality experience, but there's a bias there. Not everybody wants to speak up and say, you know, this steak was like a rubber boot, you know, or whatever. And so you do get a more, you do get a wider view of that feedback. And what's really interesting is, I mean, we haven't run this analysis in mass in a while, but I know of a particular client that I was looking at that they had been with us 6 months. And so they had their direct review capture mechanism for 6 months. Uh-huh. And when you totaled up the reviews that they captured, they actually had 10 times as many, sorry, they had double as many as they had had on Yelp in 10 years.
Oh, wow.
And so in six That's months, insane. Captured more customer feedback direct than had been put on a third-party platform over a 10-year period. Why is that? We do want to deal with these local business proprietors directly. Uh-huh. You know, we do want to share that feedback directly, whether it's good or bad. And we do, I think, inherently believe they'll probably do something about it. You know, if we have that direct conversation, but they just haven't had the facility for it before. And so the only outlet before were these platforms that are disassociated from the restaurant, you know, and they have their own, I'm not saying they're evil, you know, I'm not saying they're all bad. All of the third party marketplaces have their purpose and they have their role, but it's like, that shouldn't be the only way you can get, you know, this kind of feedback. And so I do think that's one of the things that really appeals to the restaurateurs that come on board with Pop Menus. They're like, man, I took a little bit of control back, you know, from Yelp and TripAdvisor and OpenTable and Facebook and Google, all these third-party platforms that collect reviews. It's like, now I get them myself. And yeah, we let our owners decide, am I going to show this on the site or not? Because like if you look at a law firm site or if you look at an accounting firm site, they're not putting bad reviews up on their own site.
Yep.
You know, they're using the good ones to put the best foot forward. And it's like, yeah, consumers can still get the unvarnished look from those other platforms. But the fact that we just made it so easy for restaurants to capture and to use, you know, that feedback to sell their dishes or to deal with a bad experience, they just love that control.
Yeah, I was going to ask, with everything having to go digital and everything having to go off-prem for such a long time through the COVID times, has that also been something, you know, when I'm dining in, it's a little bit easier. One of the things that I've talked to a lot of guests about is this, how do you deal with guest retention and pulling people back in? Because oftentimes if you're, you know, if you've got a bad experience, the guests might, you know, do it via DoorDash or Grubhub or what, you know, whatever. And or they ordered it, you know, via the phone or via the digital menu online. But then they have a bad guest experience, but the restaurateur oftentimes doesn't know about it. When I'm sitting down in the dining room and I'm unhappy, I'm gonna say something to the manager, I'm gonna say something to the server about my guest experience. Have you guys found that the reviews have helped at least give a forum for those people that might be able to be a keyboard warrior but not make a phone call back to the restaurant about a bad guest experience?
Yeah, absolutely. And so I was just demoing a client for a potential partner a few days ago, and I was showing them the review mechanism, and like all the reviews were bad. And so, look, it's hard for owners to sort through all that stuff all the time, but we can apply automation. We're already doing some sentiment analysis to say, you know, this is something you should accept this, or you should reply to this, or you should decline putting this one on your site. You know, they're cursing or whatever. We can do a lot more to help them with that. And so like we're early in that journey where it's like, well, now you have the mechanism to capture it. Now we need to help you and alert you to the outliers where it's like, this person is super, super, super happy, or this person is super, super, super pissed, and they're probably going to go rip you on a bunch of different platforms if you don't reply to them right now.
Yep.
And so I think that's the other part is as this evolves, it becomes, you know, a very unique productivity tool for them in that they can get out ahead of stuff instead of just dealing with a mass. You know, they can do a better job of we can do a better job of alerting them to, hey, this is a really bad experience. And then they can
do something about it.
Yeah. They can do something about it. And restaurateurs don't shy away from that. It's one of the, so many things I love about the space. But one of the things is, yeah, you're going to screw up. You know, uh-huh. you're going to cook something wrong. You're going to have, you know, a server have a bad day, whatever. I find that restaurateurs, more often than not, they're like, they will make good, you know, more than almost any other profession.
Well, so because like they're in the hospitality the business, man.
Yeah, exactly.
They're there to, they're bringing right. somebody into their home to like to serve them a meal. They want to make sure that they get taken care of. It's such a, exactly. I mean, it's such an undergirth of what the industry is that we serve.
Exactly, 100%. And the fact is, like, people railing on a third party platform does not enable them to do anything about it except try to defend themselves in a text thread. Yep. And so that's one of the absolutely. Things we love about these tools are like real life. You know, it's like. It's like, wow, someone was really pissed and they're never going to come back. And I'm going to call them or I'm going to text them or I'm going to, you know, we just make it so they can deal with it directly and really easily.
Very cool. So I'm going to pivot here because you kind of were leading me into that without knowing that you were leading me into it. The question that I had next is I'm a restaurant owner. How does the product work? I don't know crap about how to build my menu. I had some graphic artists do my PDF menu. You're now telling me I need to put this tool in and take some pictures. Talk to me about what that looks like on a user experience perspective. When I'm the user, I'm owning the restaurant. I want to, you know, I want to build out my menu. I want to build out my daily specials or my Friday night special. What does that look like? What does my user experience look like to be able to publish a menu real time out to our guests?
Yeah, great question. So, there's a big difference between the beginning of the relationship and then ongoing.
Okay.
And so the focus, the most difficult part for the owners and for us is onboarding. And we have put a ton of thought and process and technology into it. We still have a long way to go. But from the beginning, we decided we're going to do all the work and we're not going to charge a setup fee.
That's
because
awesome.
We believe you're going to stay with us. And we say, really, what they need to give us, we'll tend to do a launch call where we find out, or we collect it through the platform, that we find out some basic things about how we should build it. But we upload the menu either through technology or through people. We put all the assets in place. We do the design. Like, we do everything. Because if we are asking them to do it, we will fail. And so that's a risk, right? Like we just bet on that up front to say, hey, Jeremy, you signed up with us 3 months ago. Software is ready. Everything's ready to go. We just need you to add your menus, your logo, your locations, your hours, your about us, your all this stuff. And it's like, that's not going to work. And so we started off just doing super dumb manual, you know, brute force. We're just going to type it all in. And then we just keep adding more and more technology to it to where pretty soon most of that stuff's going to happen automatically. But that's how it should be. You know, it's not that, I mean, I just can't imagine a restaurant owner sitting down and typing their whole menu. I mean, we have clients that have a dozen menus and maybe 1,000 items, you know, when you include the drink list and everything, it's like, that's not going to happen.
Yeah.
And so it's on us. You know, we either need to, because they're doing it. They're launching once. I mean, we're launching thousands of people, you know? And so we are the ones that we need to get better and better at it. We need to figure out how to put, we're the technologists. We need to figure out how to use, you know, machine learning and all kind of, you know, crawling and doing all these different things to ease the burden of it. But I just don't think they should have to do it, you know? And
it's
been good for us from the start. And I think, you know, I think there are a lot of new startups in restaurant tech, you know, and I think when they get to onboarding, that's when you find out, are you going to have a business or not? Because that part's is super hard. And if you really dedicate yourself to figuring it out, then it's great for the business. You know, it's great for the restaurant and it's great for you, but that work has to be put in.
And so what does it look like if I'm now a chef owner and I say, oh, I got extra halibut that came in from my fishmonger and it's Wednesday night and I want to do a halibut special. So that's not on my core menu, but I want to throw this halibut special out with some pictures and some, you know, some of those kind of things. Can I go in and do it myself? Do I have to contact Pop Menu? Talk to me a little bit about kind of what that might look like. Because, you know, restaurant tourism, you guys have been working with them for a while. They get creative and they're like, oh, crap. We got extra of this. We got extra of this. All right, we're going to make up a special and we're going to make this happen tonight.
Oh, man. We're built for that. I love that question. So it takes about 1 minute, you know, to now taking the picture. I mean, yeah, you can use a picture from a great recent Android or a great recent iPhone. And a lot of our best pictures on the menu are actually from taken by phone.
Wow.
And we're actually building more kind of photography capture capabilities into the platform because it is a big need and scheduling sessions and stuff like that's really, it's a big challenge and a big cost. But okay, you got the halibut special. You can add the dish within a minute and you have to have the picture, you know, but you can add the photo as part of that. But this is where the beauty of our platform comes in, is that we're not just built for online ordering, you know, like many kind of folks out there, and we're not just a website. You add that halibut, you can all at the same time push that to Google My Business as an offer. You put it on your website as an announcement with an offer. You can send out mass text. You can send out mass email. Or you can go in and target the people that you've tagged as or that we've seen love your halibut dish. And you can message just them.
That's awesome.
We also have an automated, we have many automated emails that get triggered based on different things that happen, you know, different events. And so one event is a consumer loves a dish. And so you can love and like and remind me to try different dishes. And so if it's like Jeremy loved the halibut and then we took the halibut off the menu, when we add it back, he'll get an email.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
The dish that you love is back. And so these are the many nuances that we've built in that it's hard to describe. Like for us, we have to get in front of restaurateurs and say, I know you've been sold a ton of crap, you know, just get in front of it and just see it because we can't describe all of it. We can give you a little bit, but once you see it, you'll get it. And it's these little nuances where it's like all of a sudden your halibut special explodes, right? I didn't even mention it'll also go to your social networks. And so it really is just consolidating that whole digital picture to say when you want to get something done, whether that's a new dish, a new chef's menu, a new event, a new offer, you just add that content and then the system's taking care of everything else.
That's incredible. Well, it reminds me of a story of a customer. I don't drink. I haven't drank in a number of years. And it's a restaurant group out of here, out of Southern California that's known for their beers. And I'm on their loyalty club. And I was talking to their CIO one day and I'm like, dude, I am so tired of getting the freaking offers for the beer club. Why do I get the offers for the beer club when you know that I don't drink? My last 200 transactions that I've had at your restaurant for the last 10 years, none of them have had a beer on them. Why do you continue to try and get me to come in and drink? All it does is make me turn off anytime I get an email from you. And so back to that relevance, you know, if I went on Amazon, my kids are grown, like not grown, but like if they started advertising diapers to me, I'd be like, what the hell is wrong with you, Amazon?
Yeah.
You know, versus advertising the things that they know I need. But again, all day long, the restaurants do that because they don't know who their guests are. I love that you guys have figured out a way to communicate what their value proposition is for those individuals. Because I do believe going into, you know, the 2020s and beyond, I think that specialization and personalization of what those offers are is going to be a huge, huge benefit to the end user and to the restaurateur.
It's everything. I mean, it's just a better connection. You know, like we joke about Facebook and Instagram and stuff listening. And then, yeah, we were talking about cat food. And now you're recommending me cat food. And
yep,
it can feel creepy. But the fact is, it works. Like it's right. Well,
and we want it. Like we want it. When it's not there, we get pissed. And so it's like, we're such terrible humans. Like, oh, I don't want them listening to me. But then when they advertise cat food and I only have dogs, you get pissed at them too. Right.
It's a better connection. It's information asymmetry being addressed. That's what the internet does. And it's like, yep. Yeah, we know that you want this. Even if it means I have to remarket to you 50 times, you're going to buy it. And you're like, yeah, I actually do want that. I resisted it because it was creepy, but I'm going to buy it. But it doesn't have to be like that with restaurants. And one of the really interesting things is these automated smart messages that we have, because every restaurant should be doing email, and most of them aren't doing it because it's hard. Yep. Even if you use super modern tools that are really good, you still have to pull your list together, import your list, build a template, come up with the content, which is like a nightmare for most restaurant owners. Like, oh, I have to sit down and write this thing, you know, all that stuff. We just built all of it in. Just make it super easy. If you just want to blast something out, the whole template's there. It just has to be super easy. But these smart messages, you don't have to do anything. It's just being triggered based on what we know, you know, these different events that consumers will trigger. And so they're all based on personalization. It's either about a dish that you reviewed, a dish that you said you loved, it's about your birthday, it's about whatever. And so what's interesting is, like, MailChimp says that hospitality related emails, the last time I looked, the open rate was like 19.5-20%, something like that. Click through rate was like 1.3%. I mean, many of our smart messages are 40-60% open rate.
That's incredible.
5-9% click through rate. Why is that? It's not magic. It's not because the template looks so good. That doesn't even matter, actually. What matters is there's a personal connection between you and that message. You know, it's like, oh, Olea or Vine, you know, they remembered that I love this dish and they messaged me about it, and it's in the subject line. I'm going to open it. Oh, it's an offer. I'm going to click on it. Like, it's not, it is obvious stuff, but it needs to be put in play for restaurants because it makes a huge difference. And the other thing is, if you think about, most restaurant offers suck. Like,
yes. Well, you're not getting that experience that I was telling you about, where I'm getting beer offers and they know I don't drink beer.
Yeah.
Like, it's like, it turns me off from wanting to go to that brand, because I'm like, they really don't give a shit about me. They're putting me in with the masses and just sending out the mass mailer that has nothing to do with me, not based on my buying preferences, nor based on what I've clicked on ever before.
Based on nothing. And it's like, even the fact that you're getting beer stuff is kind of impressive, because usually all it is, hey, just come in and get 10% off.
Yeah.
You know, it's just a blanket, uncompelling, non-personalized offer is what you get most of the time. And it's like, we're going to spend $200 and you're going to give me 20 back bits. All right.
Yeah.
People aren't compelled by that, but what they are compelled by is, hey, we know you love this double burger, and on Tuesday, just for you, it's 50% off.
Yeah.
You know,
they're very cool.
That kind of stuff just works.
Absolutely. Well, and I can see, we see it working, like you've said it, we see it unequivocally working in all other verticals, but we do not do it in the restaurant industry. And so I love that you guys have worked through those things. I know we're getting closer to time. Where do you think you guys are going? Where do you guys think Pop Menu's going? You know, as far as a product, as far as, you know, the things that you guys have kind of on the, you know, on the back burner, or those things that you know you really want to get to. If you're to look out 18 months, 2 years from now, where's Pop Menu gonna show up? If I showed up at one of your customer sites and said, tell me more about them, what else will they say that you guys are doing for them?
Yeah, great question. I mean, the best thing I can tell you is that they are leading us where we're going. The customers are the ones leading us. And this is a benefit of having three or four co-founders being product people, is that, I mean, really what our expertise comes down to is listening to everyone and listening to everything and then distilling down, okay, what are the highest value, lowest effort things we can do? And so we are talking to clients literally every single day. Our product team is meeting with multiple clients every single day to go through, you know, concepts, mock-ups, scenarios, ideas. And we do those over and over and over because they uncover the things we should build that no one could really ask us for. You know, no one asked for a dynamic menu experience. No one's asked for a lot of the things that we build explicitly. We just listen to them enough to where we knew, oh, this is a struggle and this could fill the gap. And so all of that is to say that what we hear from clients is, hey, just, can I just do more through you? And the appeal of going from, you know, 10 to 13 pieces of technology down to one, you know, one login, one bill, one contact, that appeals to them so much. And so all I'll say is we're going to do more and more. We're being led by them down that way. Until I would say we'll cover everything they would do digitally that's guest facing. And maybe beyond that too. But they are the ones asking us for that, you know. And we started off saying we just want to do this menu thing, but then we just can't help it. You know, it's like, hey, this is a crying need. We know we can do something about it, you know, whether it's been the marketing stuff or online ordering or whatever it is. It's just when they pull us in that direction, we can't help but, you know, do what we can to kind of meet that need. So I just see us doing more and more of you know, what currently is it's taking, you know, multiple disparate systems and services and tools and providers and just doing as much as we can under, you know, under one login. That's what we'll be doing. And hopefully people will be really happy with that. And hopefully what that's ultimately going to lead to is a business that's easier to run. You know, it's not never going to be easy. It's always going to be hard to run a restaurant, but at least some of this stuff can be a lot easier. It should be more complex. It should be less complex and it should be less costly, you know? And so when you put all those things together, I just feel like we have seen we can have an impact on, you know, restaurants being able to run a more efficient, more profitable business. We're just going to keep digging in and doing as much of that as possible.
Well, I will be the first one to commend you guys on the work that you guys have done. It sounds pretty incredible, the product, and kind of the fact that you continue to focus on what the customer needs to run a better business. And so, you know, you can pass along the same accolades to your other co-founders. That's awesome that you guys are doing that. And I'm excited to see what the future holds for you guys. For those listeners out there that are like, man, I need to get on Pop Menu as fast as possible. Tell me a little bit more about what that looks like. How do they get in touch with you guys? What does engagement look like, and how quickly can they get on board once they start talking to you guys?
Yeah, awesome. First of all, I appreciate the kind words. We're I don't want to say having a blast after the last year. It's been really
this last really, year sucked, but it's really awesome too.
Well, it's been what somebody said. It's been professionally intense. Well, it's just been intense on all levels. I mean, when I say we're having a blast, one of the things that happened over the last year is just that we formed much closer of a bond with our clients, you know, and had many of them tell us, you know, they wouldn't have been able to make it through COVID without us. And that means a lot to us. That helped us get through some, you know, some crazy uncertain times, for sure. So appreciate the kind words. We're excited about what we're able to bring, you know, to hardworking restaurant operators. And we hope that they love it. And we hope that it helps their business. You can get started by going to get.popmenu.com. You can just either through a form or through like Calendly select a demo time. You definitely have to have a demo. Like people complain all the time, like, why don't you just put pricing on and this and that? And it's like, you got to see it. You don't know what it is. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so we can give you a quick, I mean, we're not a company that's going to hassle you if you get the demo and don't want to sign up. It's like, this is a big market. We got hundreds of thousands of people to go after. So get a demo. It'll take 20, 30 minutes. I've literally never done a demo for a restaurateur and had them say, that was a waste of my time. Like every single one of them, even if they don't come on board, they say, okay, I get it. That's interesting. I'm not ready for it now, whatever. Get a demo. You can get you signed up. You can get live in a few weeks. That depends on, you know, your
how gnarly your menu is and how much your backlog is.
Well, a lot of the gnarliness of the menu is less of a deal. It's like, do you have your assets together a little bit, like logo and stuff like that?
Yeah.
You know, how much pulling it and then how really it comes down to how responsive are you? We've had people launch in under a week before. We've had people launch way, way longer. Usually it's, you know, 4 to 6 weeks, but when people kind of have their stuff together and are responsive, it goes really fast. And like I mentioned before, I mean, once you sign on with us, you're locked in at that price. We're going to keep building in more and more and more innovation. We're not going to raise your price. We just don't think we get where we're going by nickel and diming people. You know, we just want to get as many restaurants on board as possible and have them stay as long as possible.
Love that. Love that. Well, I can't thank you enough for jumping on. And for our listeners, guys out there, we know that you guys have lots and lots and lots of decisions that you have to make, how you spend your time, what podcasts you listen to, what products you take a look at. But the guys over at Pop Menu really have some stuff that I think so many of our restaurant listeners out there should take a look at. And so go check them out. I'll throw in the show notes in the show notes that URL again. I think they're going to continue to innovate. It's really cool to watch where it started and kind of even where it's at just a couple years in. So I'm excited to see what the future holds. Guys, while you're online checking out their stuff, go give us a review out on your favorite podcast player and listening platform, just because it helps others find the podcast. If you guys have got other guests that you guys want us to be aware of, please send them my way, jeremy@restauranttechguys.com. And to our listeners, thank you guys and have a great day.
Thanks for listening to the Restaurant Technology Guys podcast. Visit restauranttechnologyguys.com for tips, industry insights, and more to help you run your restaurant better.